Welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts, and of course we close this segment with prayers of agreement with and for those who are in need of prayer that we know about. It's also a continuation on the book of Ecclesiastes. The Word is the way to life. The Word, being Jesus, manifested in the flesh and walked among us, was a continuation of what Solomon was talking about. He was talking about wisdom, and he was talking about life, and we know that Jesus came to bring life and have it more abundantly. But Jesus wasn't walking on the earth when Solomon penned the book of Ecclesiastes. But he did come to learn by the end of the book that God is really in control of everything. So I pick it back up at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 12 through 23. This is about the wise and the foolish. So I, Solomon, decided to compare wisdom and folly and anyone else who would come to the same conclusions that I did. Wisdom is of more value than foolishness, just as light is better than darkness. For the wise person sees while the fool is blind. Yet I saw that wise and foolish people share the same fate. Both of them die. Just as the fool will die, so will I. So what value is all my wisdom? And then I said to myself, this is also meaningless, for the wise person and the fool both die in the days to come. Both will be forgotten. Now, picking back up at verse 17, he's talking about the futility of work. So now, I hate life because everything done here under the sun is so irrational. Everything is meaningless, like chasing the wind. I am disgusted that I must leave the fruits of my hard work to others, and who can tell whatever my successors will be, wise or foolish, and yet they will control everything I have gained by my skill and hard work. How meaningless. So I turned in despair from hard work. It was not the answer to my search for satisfaction in this life. For though I do my work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, I must leave everything I gain to people who haven't worked to earn it. This is not only foolish, but highly unfair. So what do people get for all their hard work? Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, they cannot rest. It's all utterly meaningless. May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of Solomon's Ecclesiastes. Well, I think that someone once said, and perhaps it's the end of a bad day, life is greatly overrated. And what we just read, the teacher sums it all up with his views on the brevity and the apparent fertility of life, and comes to a similar conclusion. He said, I hate life. I hate all things that I have to toil for. Now, his description is his experience, of course, and it becomes a complaint, punctuated by the phrase, hey, this is just meaningless. He does not mention God in this section. Perhaps it's because he was deliberately adopting the viewpoint of one who leaves God out of the picture and attempts to achieve great things for his own glory. The teacher, we know him as Solomon, had previously linked wisdom, madness, and folly, and now he draws a more extended comparison between the two. Who better than he to do this? He, in conclusion, he said, wisdom is better than folly. Just by walking by daylight is better than fooling around and stumbling around in the dark. He said, if you're wise, you can see where you're going. You can see danger at a distance and avoid it. And you can choose between those options rather than simply suffering whatever life throws in your path. Well, you can find some of the similar things over in Proverbs, and we think maybe he wrote a lot of the Proverbs too. But he's saying wisdom won't spare you from death. He said in the end, the wise person dies just like the fool, and it's forgotten just as quickly. You ever wonder about that? And you go, I wonder if they'll remember me when I die. Well, they might for a little while at your memorial service, but after that, not so much. So he goes on to say, what does wisdom amount to in the end? He says fools are better off. At least they don't torture themselves with such questions. Solomon is helping us to understand what he found in his great achievements and that they were so unsatisfying. He said the themes of hard work and wisdom, yeah, they come together and they specifically speak of work well planned and executed. Yet, what is the point of this work, he said, since we have to leave it behind when we die? You hear me say sometimes at memorial services and so forth that we're left behind for a reason and a purpose is to encourage one another, and the ones who died went on before us, and we're left behind. So he's talking about other stuff, though. He's talking about monetary things or possessions, and he contemplates the possibility that his heir, somebody he left it to, will neglect and misuse all that stuff that he poured into his life, and he built up this and built up that. Now he's got to leave it to somebody else when he dies. He said, how fruitless these anxious striving now seem. Why was I chasing after the brass ring? Well, I think today, in the shadow of death, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, some of this stuff in Solomon's reading forces us as believers in Christ to confront major life issues. What will we pour our energies into? Talked a little bit about that with the Jesus and the rich man. So what do we hope to achieve in this life? And how will we respond when the time comes to hand over all the fruits of our labor to somebody else? Assuming there is somebody else that wants it. Well, what's the dividing line between self-centered striving, which may be a problem for a lot of us, and it's a personality trait, or genuine desire to attempt great things for God? Wow, that's something that we all have to think about. You know, the Bible talks about that when we do something, we do it unto God. Think about it. He is our supervisor, so to speak. He owns everything. We don't own nothing. So whatever we do, we should do it unto God, who honor him for the gifts and the graces that he has given to us. But Ecclesiastes 2:12-16 that we just read, mostly just dwells on the limitations of wisdom. And wisdom is great. But what are its positive benefits? Think about that. What is the benefit of wisdom? Now, we as Christians, we believe that in the resurrection from the dead and the life of the age to come, in other words, death does not mark the end of all we have lived and worked for, contrary to what Solomon was saying. So, does this mean that we are spared from the kind of disappointment and even despair that Solomon was talking about as he was lamenting through all of this life and how meaningless? Does it mean that we're spared from that? No. Jesus said, in this world you'll have trials and tribulation, but fear not, I've overcome death and the world. Think about that. Jesus has overcome it. And we can do all this, but as I say, you heard me say as I paraphrase what the Apostle Paul said, that if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But praise be to God for the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Unlike Solomon, he knew that life was challenging, but he didn't know what was going to happen to all this stuff when he died. But now, since Christ came and broke that bondage over sin and death, we got a little advantage over what Solomon was thinking, because we have something much better to look forward to, eternal life with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to be able to return if we go home to be with him before he comes back, then we come back with him to set up his kingdom on earth. That's where the wisdom comes in. Because Jesus wants well-trained saints to return with him to set up his kingdom. Wow, what a blessing. We do have so many things, and one of the challenges that we lift up one another, because we do have hope, all the people that's been affected by Milton, this hurricane. This was really something. It's just a, wow, I don't want to think about it because, you know, people's got a lot of challenges. They got a lot of things they knew. But, you know, we just don't ever know when life is going to touch us in a way that gives us all kinds of challenges. So that's why we pray for one another. We encourage one another. We have a biblical mandate to do that. So with all the people that we know about, that we list on our prayer concerns, and that we can come into a prayer of agreement with them and for them. But the most important thing is, you don't need an 800 number. You don't need any priest or pastor to pray for you. You can talk to the Father yourself. That's what Jesus did when he gave up the ghost on the cross. The veil in the temple was split in two, signifying you now have direct access to the Holy of Holies. So learn to talk to God. And that's all it is just talking to God. You say, Daddy, I got a challenge, I got this, I got that, and I really need some help. Can I crawl up on your lap and talk to you? And he'll say, yeah. Now, this is Ralphie saying, yeah. But God wants to talk to us, and we need to talk to God. That's what Jesus was talking about when the disciples realized that after dinner he went off by himself, and they puzzled them. And he said, yeah, guys, I deal everything in this life. That's why I wanted to come. I wanted to know everything that you experienced. So I'm in the flesh, as you know, and I get tired and hungry, and I have to go off by myself to talk to the Father. And he said, talk to the Father? Yeah, can we do that? And he gave us a model prayer for all of our prayers to line up with. Let's pray it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The word truly is the way to life. Have a blessed day.